Guess I'll snag this one. Is this all right?
Yeah, I have another one. Actually, we can hold up for you. Sorry.
That's okay. I can sing while I'm here because you got your music right here. If I stand there, will they be able to see slides? Can I stand off to the side?
Would you like to stand off the side?
Yeah, I feel like... Tell you what. I know I'm not very tall, but I feel like you won't be able to see.
I'll go like that. How's that?
That would be super. Except for you guys over here. You're good? Okay. I'm short enough. I am short. Always come home and I feel like really super tall. Everybody in America is like giants or something. I don't know what the deal is. Anyway, good morning. Jeremy Psua. Bring greetings from Cambodia. Thank you guys for inviting me back again and for taking care of my mother while I'm away. I appreciate that. I want to start by asking you a question. Have you ever started a project that you never finished? I think we can all say that. We all start out with such great motivation, like we're so motivated and we have such good intentions, and then something happens and our motivations go zoop. Or there's a problem that comes up in the project that makes it like too hard to do, and it just never gets done. Some projects that we have, we are faithful to work on them little by little, but it just seems like you never make progress. You're never getting close to the end of it. And at the Antioch Bible Institute, the school I was just telling you about, we had a project like that that just seemed like it would never, ever get done. And that is our building project, which you guys have been praying for the building project for a long time. And I know you know a little bit about the journey, so I want to share a little bit about our building project. When I returned to Cambodia the last time in 2017, our team that was starting the school was expecting our residents. The original plan was our residence building, our dormitory for the students and for the staff would be completed when we got back from home assignment. But in 2017, when we got back, this is what we saw. There's our dormitory in 2017. So obviously we had to rent facilities for the beginning of our opening our school. But the builder, we talked to him, and he was like, no problem, we'll just get cracking on this building, and it will definitely be done by your next school year, which would be the fall of the following year. So in fall of 2018, this was our building. In 1 year, we didn't get very much done on our building. And so it's a little bit frustrating. We're like, come on, when is this building ever going to be finished? And this is after a year and a half of, yeah, anyway. Messing around with it. The builder's like, no problem. Like, we will definitely, definitely get it done by next fall. And so fall of 2019 rolled around, and this was our building. There was a lot of progress made on the building, but it was still unfinished. But we were all very anxious to get into the building. So actually what happened was in October of 2019, despite the building looking like this, the students that we had and two of the teacher couples moved in. Actually, three of the teacher couples moved into the building while it was still under construction, thinking that that would put a little pressure on the builder, like go a little bit faster. Not an easy thing to do to live in a building that's still under construction. They are having to live with drilling and pounding and electricity and water issues because they're still putting all that stuff in. And yeah, not a fun thing. I wasn't able to move in because my apartment was really, really not livable. So I was not able to move in until a month before I came back to the United States. So I got to live at the school a month. But it was just frustrating to have this building in progress, and it was unfinished, unfinished, unfinished every year. Unfinished is actually the theme for Missions Conference this year. And if you're like me, I don't like the word unfinished. I don't like unfinished things in my life. It feels like there's like this extra stress or pressure on me. And the world seems like stressful enough already nowadays. But God is good. And he gives us words of encouragement. So I want to start with a word of encouragement, giving you a promise from God's word about things that feel like they're unfinished in your life. And this is a verse that you are probably very familiar with. It comes from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is a promise that God gives us, that that work that he's doing in us and he's doing around us and he's doing in the world, it will be finished, even though it's yet unfinished. And this is a promise that we can hold on to. And it's a promise that I really like. But much of God's work in the world is still unfinished. So today I want to talk about three things that are yet unfinished today. First thing is unfinished journeys. Unfinished journeys. Now, there's all kinds of different journeys. The journey that we're most familiar with is our own personal life journey. And if you are still living and breathing, then your journey is still unfinished. So you guys are still on an unfinished journey, just as I am. Now, our journeys, our life journeys are not always easy. We have times of joy, but we have times of challenge. We have problems and challenges and health issues and family issues and all sorts of things that come into our lives that make our journey very difficult. But as Christians, we have an advantage over people that don't know Jesus because we can invite God into our unfinished journey. We can invite him to give leadership to our life. We can invite him to help us, give us strength to face the challenges that are before us. And as we follow him and his direction in our life, we become more and more like Jesus. And I just think that's like one of the best things about being a Christian. We don't have to go through life alone. We are not alone. Even if it feels like we are, we're not. We can invite God into our journey. There's also an unfinished journey for the church. Each and every church has its own unfinished journey. Each church has a places in its life together that God still wants to work on, that God still wants to grow and develop. When you think about the early church that you see in the book of Acts, the church that was in Jerusalem, this is a church that we oftentimes lift up as an example church, and we say this is how church is supposed to be. But we forget that that church was also on its own unfinished journey. It still had places to grow and develop and places that God wanted to work in their life. The interesting thing is, as you look in Acts and you look at the story of the early church, is that most of their growth came out of challenges that they faced. And we don't like facing the challenges, but that's where God was growing the early church. One of the challenges they faced, we see in Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem church, they faced the question of how to receive the believing Gentiles into their mostly Jewish church. So their Jewish church and all these non-Jews were coming to faith, and they had to figure out how do they fit into our church. And so this was a big challenge for them. And they wrestled with a lot of issues. They wrestled with issues of prejudice. They wrestled with issues of discrimination. They wrestled with issues of salvation coming through following rules or laws. And they wrestled a lot. It was not easy. And these issues are not so different from what churches today are wrestling with as well. But the really cool thing, and the example that we see in the early church, is that they invited God into that unfinished journey, into the challenges they were facing. And we know that they invited God into their challenge because we see in Acts chapter 15, verse 28, it says, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. They were inviting the Holy Spirit into their challenges that they were facing. They were asking for God's leadership, and the Holy Spirit was responding. And so they're saying, this is what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. He is leading us. And they began to grow. They grew in their understanding of God. They grew in their understanding of other people and the gospel. And they came to see that Jesus is for all people, Jews and non-Jews. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, actually sums it up in chapter 15, verse 11, when he says, "We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." And so the early church, they grew, they embraced the Gentiles, and they grew spiritually and they grew numerically as well because they accepted God's leadership into their unfinished journey. The unfinished journey of the Antioch Bible School's dormitory was one of our biggest challenges in the last 3 years. There were so many problems with the project that made it difficult for the building to go forward. We had a builder who did not want to follow the blueprints, the plans that we had marked out. He had his own ideas of how things should go. We had difficulty finding construction workers, people to work on the building. And we found out later in the journey that one of the reasons we had trouble getting workers was because the builder was not paying them. So who wants to work if you're not, you don't know you're going to get paid or not? And so we got that problem worked out. But the builders and themselves, most of them were not Christians, and they lived right on the construction property. And so at nighttime, they'd be drinking and gambling and getting into fights, and we had problems with that. I think we had the police come at least once. We had one construction worker die overnight in his sleep, and that, for a Cambodian, is like, because that means, because he died at that site, that means his ghost is going to haunt the construction site. So who wants to want to work there, you know, if there's this ghost there? And this is what they think. And so that would made it difficult for us to find workers to move things forward. Towards the end of the project, we also discovered that our builder had been borrowing money from our project to pay for another project that he was working on. And so as we were coming towards the last year of our project, we didn't have enough money, and he was unable to pay it back. And so we had to do more fundraising, and so that was a big challenge. And, of course, in the end, we ended up finding another builder to finish our project. So a long, stressful journey. I wasn't even on the building committee, and I was stressed out. I'm so glad. For those of you that have been on building committees, bless you. Oh, not easy. Not an easy thing. At least in Cambodia, it's not very easy. But even though it was a stressful journey, we invited God into our journey, into this crazy building project thing. We prayed tons and tons, asking for God's direction, not only how to move the project forward, but also how to relate to the people that were surrounding the project, like the workers and our builder. How as a Christian do we relate to them? And God did some things that we didn't expect. In the midst of all these difficulties, as we invited God into our journey, God, in return, invited us into the unfinished stories of others, into other people that are around us, the workers and the builders in his life. God was inviting us to think not only about our own problems, our own building project issues, but to think about other people and how we can join him in their life, like how we can show Jesus to them. So I want to share with you one of those unfinished stories that came out of our long, drawn-out building project. And that story surrounds a Buddhist man by the name of Prasa. Prasa is a 50-ish-year-old Buddhist man. He actually heard about Jesus in his younger days, but he had never been interested. He said that he had heard people say that all religions are the same, they're all good, and they all tell you to do good in order to save yourself. And so he just lived his life trying to do enough good things to outweigh the bad things he did in his life, which is Buddhist thinking. He would go to the Buddhist temple, he would do the different ceremonies that he needed to do in order to be okay, as far as he thought. About 16 years ago, Prasa was introduced to the CMA Christian community when he was hired to help with one of our building projects. He actually was hired for several of our building projects. He actually ended up building the mission office that we use in Cambodia. He built our guest house. He also built one of the churches in Phnom Penh as well. So over, the last 16 years, he's been interacting with Cambodian Christians and international workers. He worked most closely with one of our international workers by the name of Christine Manfred. And believe it or not, guys, it is a woman that usually oversees our construction projects in Phnom Penh. Chris Manfred, and she's so awesome. So this is Chris and Prasanna talking at a construction site. And so Chris worked with him from the beginning with our mission office. And she's the kind of person that, like, just automatically is telling people about Jesus, sharing from her experience, praying for people. And so she began to share with him from the beginning, and he listened. He was very polite and respectful, but he just was not interested in Jesus. But she continued to be a light to him through the many construction projects that Prasa was involved in. Then in 2017 and into 2018, he found himself without any work. He didn't have any work to do, and he really needed something to support his family. So he said he really wished that Chris would call him again, because she could call him over the years for these different projects, and he didn't want to call her and ask. But then he remembered that she'd already talked about praying, and that you can ask God. And so he said he was going to try this. He was going to pray and ask God to give him a job. So he did. He prayed. And lo and behold, Chris called him and asked him if he would help with our Antioch building project. And he was like, yes, I need a job. He was not hired as the builder. He was actually hired as, I guess you call it, the quality control guy, the guy that watches the builder and the workers, make sure all the materials are quality and things are being built the way they're supposed to be built. So he had a hard job always butting heads with the builder, because the builder's wanting to do something different than we wanted to do. But he very graciously did this job for us. Now, our building that we're building is on the same property as the CMA Mission Office and the same property as the National Church Office. So every day, Prasad was coming to work. He was coming into this Christian community, interacting not only with Chris and the builder and the workers and those of us that were at the school at that time, but he was also interacting with other Cambodian Christians. He even spent a good bit of time talking with the National Church president on the different days that he would come in. And so he is just surrounded by this Christian community at his work. And we thought, okay, like, he's been hearing about Jesus. Hopefully he's going to, like, want to know Jesus. But he didn't. Like, he's just going to, no, yeah, that sounds okay. But then something started to slowly change in him, and you could just see his heart softening. And by towards the end of 2018, he began to say things like, I think I believe what you're saying, but not 100%. And so we were continuing to pray for him. At the beginning of December 2018, a Christian Cambodian worker from the CMA Mission Office was talking to Prasad one day, and he said to Prasad, you keep saying you believe, but you never receive. He says, if you're sick and there's a medicine that could cure you, but you don't take it, you just lay on the bed and say, I believe that medicine over there is going to help me, it doesn't do you any good. You have to take the medicine. That's why you need to receive Jesus into your life as your Savior and Lord. And that conversation really hit Prasad. And he's like, yeah, that makes sense. He says, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to ask Jesus to be my Savior and Lord. And so December 1st, 2018, Prasad became a believer in Jesus, a follower in Jesus. Yeah, he's right. We're all so very excited. And he immediately became this, like, passionate evangelist telling everybody that he was a follower of Jesus now. Within the first month, I couldn't believe it. Within the first month of him becoming a Christian, he got up in one of the city churches and gave his testimony, like in front of like hundreds of people. And it was just amazing. Like, I would be scared to death to do something like that, but he's just so excited that he's a Christian. He wants everybody to know. So he's telling not only Christians in the church, like I told you, but he began to tell his neighbors and his family and just sharing everywhere. In his neighborhood, he started praying for neighbors that were sick and saw people healed. And led a few people to faith in Jesus. He also led his daughter and one of his sons to faith in Jesus as well. And Prasad just passionate about telling people about Jesus that he has found. But his story is still unfinished. I don't know where his story is going to go. He is still praying for his wife and for his older son. Oh, sometimes I get in my stories and I forget my pictures. So Prasad is, do I have a pointer in this? I don't even know. Anyway, he's this guy over here. And the Cambodian guy on the other side is actually the director of the Antioch Bible School. And the white guy in the middle is my field director. So he's watching over me, make sure I'm doing the right thing here in America. And every time I put this picture up, okay, yes, sir. So anyway. No, he's a good guy. David Manfred, he's actually the husband of the lady that's ahead of our construction projects. Prasanna, he continues to pray for his wife. This is his wife at actually a Christmas event at the school. She came, joined us for a Christmas event. But please be praying for them. His story is still unfinished. There are still people in his life he wants to see Jesus work in their lives. So God invited us into Prasanna's unfinished story through this crazy construction project. And you guys have been a part of this story too. I don't believe I have mentioned him in any of my prayer updates, but as you've been praying for the construction project, guess what? You've been praying for him. And God used this to bring him to faith. Oh, and when we needed to find another builder for the building, we asked Prasanna to finish our building for us. So he happily stepped up and was the builder that finished our building. This picture was taken on July 1st, the day I left Cambodia. I actually ran into Prasanna and my field director in the morning, and Prasanna said to me, "Yay, guess what? I finished the last little thing I needed to do. The building is officially finished." So yay, our building was finished on July 1st, and it's great. It's beautiful. It's really awesome building, and we're very blessed with it. Even though the journey was crazy, God did some really cool things. I want to share with you one other unfinished story, a story of one of our students. Actually, this student, Jantu, is one of the Antioch School's first graduates. She's a 39-year-old single woman, and she is ethnically Khmer. She's Cambodian. But her family, her parents, lived in Vietnam for many years. And when they got a little bit older and they were having kids, they decided they wanted to raise their kids in Cambodia, and so they came back into Cambodia and to raise their family. And praise God, her whole family became Christian when they returned to Cambodia. When Jantu was probably late teens, early 20s, she went with her family back to Vietnam to visit relatives and friends that her parents had left behind. And although she didn't really know the Vietnamese language, she knew a few words, but she remembered a few words, but not really able to, you know, communicate real well. She said that what really struck her during that trip was that her family in Vietnam didn't know Jesus. And that just really burdened her. And she came back from Vietnam with this desire to see her family in Vietnam come to know Jesus, and with this desire to see the Vietnamese people in general know Jesus. But she didn't know how. She didn't have the language. She didn't have any training. And so she said, "I need to go to Bible school." So she asked her parents if she could go to Bible school. And in Cambodia, decisions for kids about schooling, they're not decisions for the individual like they are here in the United States. They're decisions for the whole family. The parents look at the whole family, what's best for the whole family. And at that time, she had a really good job, and so her parents said, no, we don't want you going to Bible school. It's not the best thing for our school. And so she very graciously submitted to her parents' leadership and did not go to Bible school. But year after year, she just had the desire to go and learn how to tell people about Jesus. And so she kept asking her parents year after year if she could go to Bible school, but they kept saying no. Finally, when she was around 35 years old, her parents said, "Yes, okay, you can go. Like it would be okay for the family if you would go." And so she was one of our first students at Antioch Bible School, and because she had wanted to go to school for so long, she was just a wonderful student. To tell you, just really super hungry for God and for learning, and a joy to teach. When she started to come to Antioch, we put her in a ministry group at the railroad track community, which is the one that I was helping with. It is a very poor community with a lot of social issues and lots of kids in the community. We went in and were building relationships, and eventually those relationships led to us being able to share about Jesus with a couple different families there. I remember Jantu, when we first went into that community, she told me, she says, "I don't like to work with kids." And I was like, "Okay." She's like, yeah, I can work with adults, that's okay, or youth, that's okay, but I don't like kids, so I don't want to work with kids. Problem was, the kids in this community adored her. They just were just, I mean, you see the kids on her lap there. They just adored her. So it wasn't too long where she changed her tune and began to join us in doing some kids ministry there. In her second year at Antioch, because of her interest in Vietnamese ministry, we were able to put her in a Vietnamese ministry group where she could interact and share Jesus with Vietnamese people who knew Khmer, because she still didn't know the language. And so that was a good growing experience for her as well. Towards the end of her schooling in Antioch, she became part of a team that we called the Vietnamese team, which included students from Antioch, but it also included international workers from the United States. We had also had an international worker from Vietnam. We had a Vietnamese missionary that was part of this team, and their goal was to plant a new church in one of the Vietnamese communities in Phnom Penh. Now, the Vietnamese in Cambodia are actually our largest unreached people group. They are, let's see, how many are in Cambodia? 815,000 Vietnamese in Cambodia, and 0.17% know Jesus. And so a big unreached group within Cambodia, and this Vietnamese team really wanted to go into an area that was really dark, and so I think what they did is they, like, surveyed around places they knew, and they picked the darkest place they could go to start this outreach. And this community was very similar to the railroad track community, lots of social issues, drug and alcohol issues, gambling, fighting, theft. And that community they actually moved into had, I think, two or three witch doctors that lived in the community as well. So a very, very dark place. But Juntu, along with the rest of the team, began to visit there and build relationships. Oh, and again, I forgot my pictures. This is a picture of the community that they are doing their outreach in. Juntu graduated from Antioch in August of 2019 and immediately began studying. Oh, by the way, the girls, the two little kids there, are two kids from the railroad track community that wanted to come to graduation. So, yeah, you can see, like, how the kids are. She's like a magnet for kids, even though, you know, she doesn't like kids. But in any case, she began to learn Vietnamese, and then in October of that year, she actually moved into the community that they are doing their outreach in. And she moved into this building in the middle. It was a two-story, like there's one room on each of the floors, plus the bathroom. And so the team was able to help her rent that, and that's become the base operations for their outreach. And, of course, look, the kids started coming to her house in that community all the time. But it's not an easy place for her to live. Like I said, it's a very dark place. She faces a lot of opposition and I don't have time to tell you all the stories of all the things that have happened there, but I know that it's difficult for her. She would send me messages on Messenger. Messenger is the way to go in Cambodia, apparently. So we're all on Facebook and Messenger. And so she would send me messages on Messenger. Would pray for me because my neighbors are fighting again, and I'm afraid it's going to spill over, you know, into my house or whatever. And one night she also was in her house, had already locked up the house for the night, and she heard outside a couple of thieves talking in front of her house about how they were going to steal her neighbor's motorbike. And she was like, I'm just going to stay really quiet and really still, and they won't think about coming into my house. So it's just a little scary thing for a single lady to do this, but she really wants to see Jesus known in this community, along with the rest of the team. Thankfully, she does have a team to go with her, but she does live on her own there in the community. But she's made great connections, particularly with the kids and the ladies in the community. And for being a Khmer woman in a Vietnamese community, she's really been embraced, And we're just really excited what the connections that she's making there. I wish I could tell you how this story is going to end, but it is an unfinished story. It's still in process. But she continues to shine her light there in this dark area. My next slide is not going. Can you switch it for me? Thanks. So Juntu continues to shine the light in that dark area. Back to unfinished. So first we invite God into our unfinished journeys, and then he in turn invites us into the unfinished journeys of others. And thirdly, we can join him in his unfinished mission. I think you can probably figure out what God's unfinished mission is. That would be the Great Commission. God has given to us as all believers to go and make disciples of all nations. And God is inviting us to join him. And we can join him in that mission of making disciples all around the world, here in Carlisle and all around the world. You guys have already joined in the unfinished stories of Prasad and through Juntu, through your prayers and your giving to the Great Commission Fund. But there are so many more people that need to know Jesus. And there's lots of different ways to join God in his unfinished mission, as you know. And so I'm going to finish up with those three things that you usually hear the missionaries talk about. How you can join, how you can partner is praying, giving, and going. I really want to emphasize the praying part because it is difficult. Like, even if I had time to tell you the whole story of Juntu and the challenges she's faced, like, she needs your prayer backing. And I need your prayer backing. It's difficult to go into these places. It's difficult to train up leaders. The enemy fights back at every step. He does not want to see Christian workers train to go into the city. So please be praying, praying for Juntu, praying for Prasad, for his family that are not yet believers. Pray for more students, as we talked about earlier. It's really heartbreaking because the cities are growing. 275 people move into the city every day, and our Christian worker number is limited. And so pray that God would raise up more workers for the city. You can also join God's mission by giving to the Great Commission Fund, which you guys do, and I know you do, or giving to my ministry personally. Either way is great. And I know you guys support a lot of missionaries, so you guys are joining God's unfinished mission all around the world, and I'm just really excited about that. And lastly, you can join God's unfinished mission by going. And I actually talked a little bit with Pastor Doug yesterday about how can Carlisle Alliance go, and this computer and English program that's starting up is going to make room for and need for English teachers, and you guys all know English, and it would be really great if they can come and learn how to speak our Central Pennsylvania accent. So you guys are welcome to come. I'll talk more probably with Doug about how we can make that happen in the coming years. Come and help. And if you are good at computers, that's great too, because that's not my area. And we're also looking in the future to do some business classes as well to help the students. So lots of different ways you can join in God's unfinished mission, but he is inviting us to join. I want to finish up with a quote from A.B. Simpson, who is the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and this is what he says. "We need to finish our unfinished work. We need to do the things that we have thought of doing, intended to do, talked about doing, and are abundantly able to do." So let's make the choice today to join God in his unfinished mission. So let me pray for you guys. You guys pray for me all the time, so let me just finish by praying for you. Father God, I just thank you that you are amazing God, that you are sovereign over all the crazy things that are going on in our world. But you're also at work, and your work is yet unfinished, and we have the privilege of joining you in that work, Lord. So I just pray for this church, for these people who are sitting here, Lord, that they would hear from you and how you would like them to join in your unfinished mission. On the other side of the world, or maybe here in your own community. Lord, there are a lot of unfinished stories around us, people who need to hear of you. So pray that you would make that clear and invite us into those stories to join you in what you're already doing in their lives. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of following after you and being a part of your family. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.